sinner like me. When I think of my Savior alone on that cross, I know without him that my soul would be lost if he had not been willing to suffer the cost to rescue a sinner like me. To rescue a sinner like me, Lord, to rescue a sinner. So limited that I could not see that the reason he died and arose just for me, so unworthy was I, yet he came willingly to rescue a sinner like me, to rescue sinner like me, Lord, to rescue a sinner like me. He abandoned his throne and his kingdom above to rescue a sinner like me, to rescue a sinner. A sinner like me, Lord, to rescue a sinner like me. You abandon your throne and your kingdom above to rescue a sinner like me. You abandon your throne like you and me, a sinner like me.
Thank you, Karina. Let's stand together this morning, if you are able, and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25. We'll start reading there. We are in a series called What Did Jesus Say? We're looking at some of the things Jesus said and how they work, how they apply to our lives. Sometimes it's easy when you preach to not just want to use the well-known verses that everybody knows. It's like, well, we've heard these messages. We've heard that on that verse before. But on the other hand, if we're going to talk about what Jesus said, sometimes we're going to talk about some verses that we've already heard. And so I want to look at a very familiar verse today. I don't want us to miss it, to pass over it, because it's familiar to us. What he said is very important. I think it'll be helpful to us this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. That's lunch, by the way. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And let's pray. We pray, Father, this morning that you would be with us, the few minutes that we have together. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through these very familiar verses. Lord, as we look at these things, I pray that you'd help us to meditate and think about what is really important to us. May we align our values with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're back on the series, as I mentioned before, What Did Jesus Say? Here in these verses, they come right after some verses Jesus talked about where we would make our investments in life. He talked about whether we think about heaven or earth when we think about what we're doing with our life. Where are we really investing what we do? He talked about two different mindsets, two options we have when it comes to our mindset. Do we have a heavenly kingdom mindset, or do we have an earthly mindset? And then he talked in the very famous verses about the two options we have when it comes to having a master, God or mammon. And when we talked about stewardship a few months ago, we talked much about that. Now, as he talks about these he finishes those verses, he comes into a next set of verses. Now, realizing that those verses, the different options we have, all have to do with really what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about a heavenly perspective, or are we thinking about an earthly perspective? But now, he brings the verses down to really the core, which is what is really important to us? What are we dwelling on in life? What are we seeking for in life? The key word in these verses is thought. It's used six different times. Because what is important to us will stay at the forefront of our minds. It's what we dwell about. It's what we think about. That's very important. Because as Romans tells us, that what we think about to a large extent will determine our actions. What is in our mind inevitably will come out in the way that we act and the things that we do. And so that's why it's very important for us to have the right mindset, the right thoughts. He ties up this whole series. He talks about clothing, and he talks about food, and he talks about all these things because these were the things that people were seeking after. This was what is important to them, what they have, and what do they wear, what do they get to eat, it's all important. That's the big thing to me on this earth. He just said that you need to have a heavenly perspective, not just an earthly perspective, and all we're dwelling on is the things of this earth. We're going to struggle with that. And then he ties it up in verse number 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't let the familiarity of that verse get by you. Well, just because I can quote it, and just because, you know, by the way, sometimes the words we know the best are the words that we understand the least. This isn't just some arbitrary verse we pull out of nowhere. There's a context to it. Where's your perspective? What's really important to you? And then he's telling us how we can have the right perspective and how we can really have the things that are right be important to us. What should be important to us? The things that are important to God. What should we value? Well, what does God value? That ought to really be the thing that is important to us. The things that we are concerned with should really be the things that God is concerned with. But how do we do that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? Let me give you a few thoughts this morning about how we can make sure that the things that are important to God are important to us. How we can make sure the things that God highly values are the things that we highly value. It's pretty simplistic, and it's laid all out for us in these verses. If we're going to have the things be important to us that are important to God, it involves several factors. First of all, it means that we must be proactive about it. Proactive. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The key word there is the word seek. Seek is an action word. Seek is a proactive word. Seek is our responsibility. To be proactive means it's something that we go after. It's not something we sit by. Look, most of us are very passive in our Christianity. We want to just come to church and sit there and think that the things that God wants for us are just going to come to us. We've got to go get them. No one can ever say if their life is not lining up with the way God wants their life to line up. We can never blame God. It's always on our end. You see, the Lord changes not. He is who he is, and he doesn't change his attributes. So therefore, if we're not being what we should be, it's because we're not actively seeking to be what we should be. We are told to seek. That takes effort on our part. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, the psalmist is saying, I've got to be proactive about it. If it's going to be a part of my life, I've got to go for it. That's being proactive. Seek. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He also tells us in Isaiah, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Those that want it, those that are proactive, get it. Have you ever lost something? And you've looked for it? Well, here, keys. How many of you lose your keys? Can we be more specific, Brother Pichardo? Ladies, how many of you ladies lose your keys? By the way, ladies, this is husband counseling 105. At the end of the night, husbands do this. We have a pile. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Husband pile. Brother, I know. It's right up there next to the alarm, Brother Pineda. My wallet goes there. My keys go there. If it's one of those rare occasions I have money, my money goes there. Everything. My watch goes up there. My phone goes up there. So therefore, in the morning, I know exactly where it is. That's good preaching. Now, ladies, come in the house. Seriously? My wife hates this phrase. I try not to use it because I like to eat. She'll come in and say, have you seen my glasses? Now, I'll inevitably say, even though it's against my better judgment, where is your designated spot to put them? You know how well that goes over? That's not food. But you lose it. By the way, now, we've all lost something, even though, men, we have piles, we still lose stuff. But when you lose something, what happens? You look for it, right? We, years, what was it? 2 years ago, my wife, we upgraded the phones. Every 2 years, we can upgrade. She got her phone. I even went out, and because my wife, believe it or not, Brother Pineda, she has a hard time getting through the day on her battery. You with me? It just dies. And so I went out and I bought her this case for her phone that was actually an extra battery. It was expensive too, but it's like, you know, I'm tired of her battery going out. So it's like, I'm going to help her. She had the phone a month, maybe a month and a half. I got a new battery for her. I was so proud of my, and she lost her phone. And even with the extra battery, we couldn't find it. And I mean, we tore the house. I didn't, because it wasn't my phone. I had mine. It was in my pile. Just thought I'd throw that in. But we always find it, right? He's like, just tear the place apart. And she looked and looked and looked, and we never. Did you eventually find it? We still to this day don't know where it is. Now, before the battery died on Find My Friends, it was somewhere in our house. We still don't know where it is. But we tore that place apart looking for it. That's being proactive. That's going for it. You see, if we're going to have the values that God has, we need to seek after him with that kind of tenacity. We need to go for it. We need to look for it. Seeking is a decision that we must make. You see, God does not force us to have that relationship with him. He wants us to have that relationship with him. He wants us to have his mindset. He wants us to have his values. But God doesn't force us to take them. God wants us to go get them. God wants us to seek after him this morning. James 4:8 tells us how. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You know what God wants us to do? I'm seeking you, Lord. By the way, when we seek him, guess what? He comes to us. As we take a step forward him, God gets closer to us. Let me ask you this morning, are you seeking him this morning? We make excuses in our relationship with God that we don't make in other areas, don't we? Here's a person that says, you know what? I just don't understand God's word. Well, let me ask you a question. How much do you get into it? How much do you seek to understand it? Usually not very much. I don't have enough time for God. You have as much time for God as you want. You see, if something is really important to us, we'll have the time for it. And so we must seek after God. We must be proactive. As I mentioned before, the verse in Isaiah, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Could it be the reason that God doesn't pour his water upon us is because we're not thirsty, we're filled up with things that aren't quite so important? What's important to you? Well, God's will be important to us when we're proactive. Number two, it means we must take it personally. He says, seek ye. You see, it's a personal thing. It's a decision you can only make for yourself. You say, well, I grew up in a Christian family and you know, I'm just living off of, it doesn't work that way. It's not inherited. It's accepted. If we're going to be everything that God wants us to be, we need to take it upon ourselves. By the way, how many people in our society now, and it's almost we're conditioned just to, if we can find some excuse for what's going on, then it's okay for my course of action. Well, I'm like this because this happened to me. And I'm sorry that whatever it was happened to you. Well, this is going on in my life because so-and-so did that. Or that was the way I was raised. Listen to me. Don't let that determine your future. I know bad things happen, and sometimes many of you probably have grown up in situations that weren't ideal. It was not the best. Things happen to you that maybe shouldn't have happened to you. But let me say this. Don't allow that to take you down. God's given you an opportunity to be better. God's given you an opportunity to change and be what he wants you to be. Don't be bogged down by excuses. Take personal responsibility for who you are. I heard a story that there was Queen Victoria of England, and when she was a child, she was very unruly. She would not study hard, and she didn't apply herself. And she wasn't badly rebellious, but she was a little bit of a problem child for those that were trying to tutor her. And then, until she came to an age when one day they set her down and said, "Now listen, you need to understand something. One day you are going to be the queen, and this stuff is important." And from that time forward, she said, "I understand that. I will take it seriously." She understood who she was going to be. She understood who she was. Listen, do you understand if you're saved who you are in Christ? I don't understand why we would live a subpar Christian life when God, we are a child of the King. It's not just a song we sing, it's who we are. Why do we settle for so much less? Why do we settle for stuff that doesn't satisfy? Why do we settle for stuff that's not important? We don't realize who we are in Christ. Personally, don't accept excuses. Someone has said when you point the finger at somebody else, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. Let's take this seriously. Also, if we're going to make important to us what's important to God, we need to make it a priority. He says, "But seek ye what? First." Now, I don't know about you, but first would mean first, top of the list. Numero uno. For you that are Cambodian, the Mui. If you're in Tagalog, una, una. Swahili. One. Top. You know what one is? One is the priority. It's the big deal. It's the top of the food chain. It's the priority. If we're going to seek God, if we're going to seek his kingdom, and we're proactive about it, and we take it personally, then we need to make it a priority in our life. In other words, it gets the time in my life. It gets the energy of my life. It's not pushed to the side. It's not something, you know what most people, they add church onto their life. Well, I got my life, and I got all this stuff, and church is just something I do on Sunday morning. You're missing it. God is not just Sunday morning. Do you know God is here all the time? Do you know God is with you all the time? We've got to make it a priority. When something is first, it's not something we squeeze in at the end. Oh, man. Forgot. Let me squeeze this in. Kind of like the husband that forgets on Valentine's Day that his wife needs flowers. Oh, let me go squeeze it in. By the way, if you're trying to buy them on Valentine's Day, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, you're going to get the worst looking flowers. Or number two, you're paying a premium price. But it is better than sleeping on the couch. Amen? Just try. I got all my life and I got all this stuff going on. And you know, God's no different than exercising. I kind of squeeze it in when I can. You can do that, but that means he's not the priority. When something is first, it's not that which gets any time or inner energy I have left over. You see, my life is mine, but if I have a little bit over here, I'll give it to God. By the way, you know what young people do sometimes? I'm going to have my fun and do my thing. And when I get older, then I'll get a little more serious about God. Let me say this. God deserves a lot more than that. And second of all, no, you will not. You get in such a habit of living your life and doing your own thing, you're not going to come to God when you get older. And by the way, the older I get, the younger older is. Did that make sense? Yep. I'm not old, you're old. You know, it's like, man, 30's old. No, it isn't. It's good. 40's old. No, it isn't. It's good. We'll stop there, okay? Jerry, when you get your age, you can't hide it, buddy. It's not good. Yep, 70 is a new 80. Now, give God the leftovers. You know, God does not deserve the leftovers. God deserves first place in our life. That's a priority. If something is first, it's not something I fit into my schedule if it's possible. You see, when something is vitally important is the Lord, he does squeeze his way into your schedule. You allow him in. And what you do is, your schedule is, God gets first and all the other stuff I want to do comes afterwards. Church is vital. That's part of my relationship with God. That's in my schedule. Nothing changes that. I'm going to spend time in God's word. I put that in my schedule. Nothing else changes that. Do you understand how it works? The other stuff comes in later. God gets first. Let's not put God at the bottom. Priorities. Otherwise, what we're saying is lip service. And by the way, that kind of Christian life doesn't last very long. We kind of just squeeze God in. It's not really the priority to us. Eventually, we get to the point where we don't need him anymore. Remember in the 90s, there was, and I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan because I'm a Christian. That's why I'm not a Raiders fan either, because I'm not a Satanist. But anyhow, kidding. Raider, how many of you are Raider fans? I need to know who I'm picking on. Anybody? All right. At the end of the service, you can come down to the altar, and I'm going to pray with those of you that are Raider fans. You a Raider fan? Yes, sir, I see that hand. God bless you. But anybody else need prayer? Okay, I admitted it last week. The Raiders are better than the Rams this year, way better. Sorry, I don't lie in church. I still don't like them. But Jimmy Johnson was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, before Jimmy Johnson was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he was the coach of the Miami Hurricanes. They were a college team. Now, a college coach, the responsibilities are different. They have boosters which help fund their program financially. So you have to go to their banquets. You have to, you know, you have to kind of be a people person. And his wife, and a wife is a huge help. So he was married. When he became the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he didn't have those responsibilities. And his testimony was, I didn't need her anymore. So he divorced her. Sounds to me like someone has their priorities messed up. By the way, that's how a lot of us treat God. He's not a priority in our life, but when we have a problem, we let him in. But as soon as we're done, you know, Lord, I don't. We wouldn't divorce God, but you know, my problem's kind of done, Lord. I really don't need you right now. That's not how it works. If God is first place in your life, your schedule will show it. Let's make sure that we make God that priority. Don't just give him the leftovers. We give God the leftovers in our finances. And we talked about stewardship. We give God the leftover in our time and our talents and just in our life. Let's give God everything from the beginning to the end. I love the story I heard. Jack Buck, he's a very famous baseball announcer. He's dead now. He was on the major networks, but he was the St. Louis Cardinals announcer. He's kind of like Vin Scully, one of those guys that just for years and years and years. And as he got up into his 70s, he was still announcing. And you know how it is when you get in your 70s? Not like you, Jerry. He was in his late 70s. He started forgetting things. And he'd be announcing, and he'd say some things that aren't right. And some people were starting to notice it. And they asked him one time about it. And he said, well, goes, here's the way it works. I've given the St. Louis Cardinals some of the best years of my life. Now I'm giving them some of the worst. You know what we do? We give God the worst. Let's give God everything we have. Make him the priority. It also means if we're going to make what's important to God important to us, it means we must understand the place. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Really, that's having an eternal mindset. He talked about that in early verses. Where are you going to invest? Heaven, where everything's fine, your investment's greater, on the things of the earth where stuff gets old, it gets stolen, it depreciates. But it's all a mindset. What is really important to us? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it furthering God's kingdom? sometimes when we have a missions conference, people sit down and they buckle their belts. Let's get through this without me giving. Why? Because that's really an investment in eternity. Now, when you give to our building project and you help with our building, you're giving to eternity. When you're giving to this church, you're giving to eternity. But let me say this, when you're giving to missions, you're really giving to eternity. Because you don't see anything, you don't see any of that. That's not going to get you a new building. That's going to be something you won't know the results until you get to heaven. But you don't think about that. Sometimes I don't think about it. Why? We don't have that eternal mindset. Everything's about what's on this earth. By the way, it's unfortunate, Brother Bichardo, the church is conforming to the earth now. We want to make church just like everything else. We want to be cool cat pastors. Now, fortunately, I am cool. You know, we want to talk like the world and we want to bring it all in and make Christianity cool. Why don't we just make Christianity about the kingdom of God? About what's important to God. Look, get excited. Tuesday nights, come on. We're sharing the gospel. Someone might get saved. That's an eternal investment. So we need to understand the place. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him which hath chosen him to be a good soldier." A soldier isn't going to get so wrapped up in the things that have nothing to do with his military pursuit that he's a worthless soldier. In a time of war, that's the priority. You know, we haven't had a world war, but during World War II, you know, they had all these rations back here and all these, you know, invest in the bonds. Why? Because if we lost World War II, there wasn't going to be an America. There wasn't going to be freedom anymore. And we were in a war. And even those that couldn't go on the battle line, they couldn't entangle themselves. They had to do some things to help with the effort. But we get so caught up in what's going on down here that the things of God just aren't that important to us. Let's make sure we understand the place. And the last thing is this. Let's understand the person. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't just say righteousness. Understand what's right. Understand a way of living. He said righteousness. By the way, do you know everybody has a standard of righteousness? People don't like rules, do they? Businesses have standards. Families, individuals. Just some people's are so low, it borders on nothing. Well, I don't like that, you know, this rule or whatever, this or that or going on or what. Everybody has a standard of righteousness. But you know what our standard of righteousness is? Ours is connected to an individual, Jesus Christ. Ours is connected to him. It's not some arbitrary thing. The righteousness we are supposed to have in our life, the righteousness we are supposed to be a witness to in this world, it's not just something we make up on our own. It's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never understand his righteousness if we don't understand him. How well do you know Jesus Christ? How important is he to you? Is it just most people have bumper sticker Christianity? The only thing of Jesus is what they throw on the back of their car. And probably a bad idea because you cut people off anyhow. Right? How many of you get cut off by some guy, you know, and it's like a guy swinging his fist at you. Ah! And you look and it's like he's got a Jesus on the back of his car. I'm like, man, something doesn't line up. That's how most of us are, if we're honest. Everything we think about, all the values are all related to Jesus. So if we have a relationship with him and we get to know him, what is important to him will become important to us. We probably can't relate to the things that God wants for us because we don't have a relationship with God. When you have a relationship with somebody and it's a real relationship past, hi, how are you doing? You get to know them, what they like, what they don't like. If you're married, you know, you get to know your spouse. And some of the things they like or don't like, you incorporate. Why? Because that's based on relationship. Maybe we struggle with the things in our life that are really important to us because we struggle with that first step, Him. What am I saying this morning? Well, what did Jesus say? In essence, what he said throughout all these verses is, hey, what's important to you today? If the things that are important in your life are not the things the Bible says are important, we need to make some changes. We need to be proactive about it for sure. Maybe there's some priorities in our life that we need to change. Maybe we're just part of the herd mentality. We're not taking this personally. Maybe we don't know Him as well as we should. But we need to. Because we're called by His name, and we ought to live the way He would live. What's important to you this morning? Is it the same things that you could say, that's what's important in God's Word? If not, maybe we need to make some adjustments today. Let's all stand together this morning.